Let's look into God's Word. Would you stand? Turn to the book of John, chapter 10. Today we're going to speak about the Good Shepherd. I'd encourage you maybe later this afternoon, read this entire chapter. It's filled with the goodness of our Shepherd. All right? But this morning we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to skip over to verse 22. To understand 22 through 30, you got to get the first part of the chapter here, okay? Today we're going to talk about the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, or enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now let's skip over to verse 22. "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you're not my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, for the privilege of worship. Lord, just to know as we approach you today that we do enter into your throne room, and that you hear us when we pray, and that Jesus seated at your right hand, Father, is making intercession on our behalf. Lord, we are humbled at that thought. Lord, today I pray that you will open your word to us, open our eyes and our ears, that we may gain everything, Lord, that you've prepared for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, "Do not boast yourself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Never know what's going to happen, do we? You know what? It's okay. There were a lot of people who lost a lot of money last week. Some people's IRA was going the wrong way. But you know what? It's okay. It's all right. Some people are canceling vacations. Yeah, we better not travel, this sickness thing. I don't know. Maybe another week or so they may cancel them for you. It's all right. You don't get to go where you thought you were going. Some people's health is threatened. You know, that's nothing new. Virus is nothing. I mean, there's always sickness. We don't know from one minute to the next what's going to happen. But you know, it's okay. No, it's better than okay. It's good. Because in John chapter 10, verse 11, and I didn't read this to you, but I want to read it to you now. It says, Jesus speaking said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Do you realize how Jesus said that? Jesus is not saying, I'm a good shepherd, meaning I'm good at being a shepherd. That's not what he said. He's saying, I am the good shepherd, meaning he's the best shepherd ever known. He's good at his job taking care of his sheep. He has the best interest of his sheep in his heart. There is no shepherd like the shepherd of Jesus Christ. He protects us from the evil one. He takes care of us and provides to our full potential. He pastures us. He waters us, giving us exactly what we need when we need it. And there is no one like Jesus Christ, our shepherd. I want you to first of all understand he is the good shepherd. All right? One of a kind. And in being that one of a kind, we go back and we look at chapter 10 and what it actually means. This is actually a security of the believer message. However, to get the security of the believer part at the end, you've got to start at the first. So we're going to go back to the first part of this chapter that we read. And we're going to talk about verse 1, the false shepherds. You see, Jesus warned of these false shepherds that would try to climb over the wall and steal sheep. During the nighttime hours in that day, the shepherds would put their flocks into what they referred to as a sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold was just a walled enclosure that the different shepherds with the different flocks, they'd bring their flocks in there, leave them for the night for protection from the wild animals. But the danger, there was still a danger. The danger was thieves and robbers. See, there were the guys that would want to climb over the wall and steal a sheep. Reminds me of the... I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to anyway. Reminds me of the good old days. Any of you ever steal a watermelon? I didn't. I'm not confessing anything, okay? We'll leave it there. But the picture of this that Jesus is making here are these evil people who during the night sometime would climb over the wall and take a sheep that did not belong to them. Now, he called them two things. He called them thieves and robbers. Now, a thief was someone who would sneak in somewhere and steal by stealth, you know, and not get caught. A robber is somebody that would steal with violence. So the picture is that they'd come in and try to sneak a sheep back up over the wall. Or maybe they'd come in and overpower the doorkeeper and burst in and gather as many sheep as they could at that one time. Jesus is pointing these out because of the danger of those that would attempt to steal sheep. And he's actually speaking of these Pharisees that have taken the nation of Israel as their own. And that nation of Israel, of course, belonged to God. And they had taken ownership of it. They had taken ownership of the spirituality of it. And Jesus is saying, look, it doesn't belong to you. And so at this point, Jesus has developed a following. These Pharisees are so jealous. They hate Jesus with all that they are because of that following. And this entire thing, Jesus is looking at them and says, no, these are my sheep and you can't have them. They belong to me. You're a thief. You're a robber. You're going to do whatever you can to destroy my flock. But I want to tell you something. I'm the good shepherd. You can't have it. You know, as I look around, I realize the application of that in the world today. There are a lot of thieves and robbers in the world today. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. His desire is to destroy what belongs to Jesus. We're told that he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and his goal is to literally take people from Jesus. But you know what? He can't. He doesn't have the right or the authority. Oh, but he tries. He tries through false religion. You know? Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Islam. Yes, and even Judaism. Doug, Jews are false religion. Yes, they don't accept Jesus as Messiah. Now, I love them. That's where the Messiah came from. But there are a lot of misinformed people not realizing who Jesus is. There are even those who call themselves Christians. It's trying to steal what belongs to Jesus. You know who they are. The God wants you to be rich cult. The God wants you to be happy cult. The God wants you to send me all your money so you can be rich and happy cult. Nah, these guys are trying to take what's not there. In the political scene, teaching that God has no place in our government. Oh, God made our government.
Amen.
But I want you to see that Satan is doing anything he can do through stealth, even through violence, to try to destroy what belongs to the Good Shepherd. But there is a problem. And his problem is the Good Shepherd. See, in the morning, the real shepherd of the sheep would come in, and the doorkeeper would acknowledge it, recognize that shepherd and acknowledge him and allow him into the enclosure. And it was a beautiful thing. As I read it, I could imagine the way it would go down. But the shepherd would enter and recognized by the doorkeeper. He would say, come in, come get your sheep. And as he went into that enclosure, he'd begin to name them. John, Bill, Don, Sparky, Spunky, whatever the names were. The names would begin to gather to him. They would hear that voice and know that that's the voice that was going to lead them to the green pastures. That's the voice that's going to protect them from the wild animals. That's the voice that's going to provide them water and everything that they need. I'm reminded at that point as that shepherd, and he calls their names, and the sheep come running, and he said, follow me, guys. And they walk out that door, and Psalms 23 comes to mind, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. If those sheep could talk, that's what they'd be saying. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You just almost hear it. It's a soldier's chant following that shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, the lion and the bear, they'll try to take me, but this is my shepherd. I will fear no evil because he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Anoint my head with oil when I hurt myself. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Who are the sheep? I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God, you're the sheep. If you belong to Jesus, I want you to understand at this point in your life, there are a lot of uncertainties, but I can promise you this, Jesus knows exactly where you are and exactly what's going on in your life, and he knows exactly where to take you from here. Because he is the Good Shepherd. There's none like him. You know what? I was kind of smiling, thinking yesterday, there's no sports. What's happened to our country? There's no sports, no baseball, no basketball, no football. You know what? That's all right. We can live without it. I look at the fear in our country, and I know there is panic. And listen, we didn't change our schedule to promote any panic. We changed our schedule to be exercise precaution. I want to tell you today, I am not this much concerned about a virus. I am not this much concerned about what's going on in our nation, the stock market, anything else you want to come up. Why? Because I know the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
He's got it. It may not be easy. I don't know what tomorrow holds. It may be difficulty. It may not. But what I do know is my Shepherd will never leave me nor forsake me. You see, you know them by their sheep. I'm sorry. You know the sheep by their shepherd. I love verse 5. It says, and they will by no means follow a stranger. You see, the sheep know their shepherd. That word, the phrase no means, is a very strong phrase to express a negative in the Greek language. It means literally, they will never, ever, ever, never follow a stranger because they don't know the stranger's voice. See, it's important that you get this part so that you can understand verse 26 when Jesus says, you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. You compare verse 26 to verse 5 and you see what Jesus is telling them. They don't believe Jesus. The reason they don't believe Jesus is because they're not part of Jesus' flock. Jesus said, I've told you the truth, and you don't believe me. Jesus said, the works that I do bear witness of the truth, and you don't believe them. And it's at this point you realize there's a reason they don't follow Jesus. It's because they don't belong to Him. Oh, you see, when you belong to Jesus, you want to follow Him. Here's a test of salvation. Now I know that we at any point can slip and fall. I mean, fiddle, even the pastor loses his temper every once in a while, says something he shouldn't say. But I want to give you this. If you're a child of God, you know who you're following. You know your shepherd. And even when you go down that path that this is a direction I probably shouldn't go, I know I shouldn't say it, I know I shouldn't do it, but I do it anyway. Even when you go down that path, you know what? There's the shepherd. And he says, takes that staff, whacks you across the side. Get back over here, boy. You're going to hurt yourself. Get back over here where you belong. See, that's the joy of a shepherd. Not only does he provide when I can't provide for myself, he knows me and the trouble I'll face before I even get there. You know? He knows how to give me exactly what I need when I need it. You want to know what's wrong with the world today? They're following the wrong shepherd. They're following education. They're following political leaders. They're following civic organizations when what is needed is a Messiah, a Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We go on. Let's talk about the sheep and the shepherd relationship. Jesus said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I love that. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That phrase, hear my voice, it means to respond. You know? Men, have you ever been sitting in your home and your wife says something And then nothing happens until finally your wife gets closer and says, "Are you listening to me? What was the problem? You didn't hear her voice." But let me tell you what. As a child of God, Jesus' sheep hears, that means responds to His voice. You're going down that path and that Holy Spirit speaks within you and says, "No, don't go this way." We respond. It's interesting. You know, and earlier I said, and He calls them by name. But you don't follow Him because He calls you by name. You follow Him because, as verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice." You follow them because you hear His voice. Does that make sense? It's that voice of comfort. It's that voice of encouragement. You know? You can say, "Doug," and I may never respond. But boy, when I hear that voice, I know. I'm up. I'm listening. Yes. That's the way I am with Beth. Anytime she calls me, I hear that familiar voice. And I say, "Yes, honey, how can I help you?" But that's the concept. You see? That's the concept that it's not the name, even though He does know me by name. It's that calming, still, small voice that says, "That's My shepherd. That's where I'm going. Oh, I'm so glad to hear Him." Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." See, here's the relationship part. He knows us by name. Can you imagine? I don't know. Last time I saw, there's like 3-4 billion people in the world. Maybe 6. I don't remember, but He knows every one of them by name. And if you're His child, if you belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, He knows your name, first, middle, and last name. Not only does He know your name, He knows your proclivities. He knows what you're bent toward. Do you realize Jesus knows the next sin I'll commit? Because He knows how I'm bent. Isn't that cool? He knows what to keep me away from. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Lead us not into temptation." He knows where I fall. You see, that's why shepherds don't let their sheep just go off on their own, because they'll fall in a hole somewhere. They'll hurt themselves. That's why shepherds say you gotta have their sheep to follow them. Jesus knows me. He knows my name. He knows my likes and my dislikes. He knows where I'm likely to stray. He knows my strength and my weakness. He knows me to the point of what He needs to keep me away from and what He needs to turn me toward. That's why He's the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, "I know them and they follow me." Only traveling where the shepherd leads. They live to follow the shepherd. Yeah, do you see the picture here? If you ever go to Israel, it's a cool sight. When you look out there, you've got this Bedouin out there, and you know, a flock of sheep, and he's just standing out there in the middle of the field watching sheep. Did you see any of those, Kelly? Isn't that the coolest thing? Sheep right there with that shepherd. They'll follow him wherever he leads them. That's the idea of how it's supposed to be in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now we get to the really good part. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And what happens? I give them eternal life. Beautiful picture. I give them that. that word, those two words, I give, it means to cause to have. And here, if you got a pen out beside the note, right, eternal security of the believer right here, okay? I give them eternal life. It means to cause to have. I'm going to cause them to have. I give it as a gift. There's nothing they've done to deserve it. There's nothing they've done to keep it. It's I give it. I present it to them. What? Eternal life. What is the gift? Everlasting life. What does eternal mean? Forever. Right? Never ending. So when he says, I give them never ending life, if I could lose it, would it be eternal? Absolutely not. No. Now wait a minute, Brother Doug. Do you mean once I'm saved, I'm always saved? That's exactly what I mean. It's eternal life. And you see, the way this, it's in the present tense that is spoken here, meaning I have it right now. If you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus, you have been given that gift. It is a gift that you have here and now. It's not future tense. He didn't say, I will give them eternal life after they die. He says, I give them eternal life right here, right now. If you are a child of God, you've got it. And even Satan himself, the thief of history, cannot take that away from you. That's why Jesus said in verse 28, they'll never perish. Again, that strong Greek word, never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever. Okay? Never perish. That word perish, here the definition is literally to be lost. So we could say that you will never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever be lost. Once you're in the fold of Jesus Christ, you will never be lost. See, there's two concepts in closing here. Concept number one. You will never be lost. Okay? Meaning, you can't lose it. Jesus will not lose you, and you cannot lose yourself. Right? Makes sense? Whether by intentional sin or unintentional sin. You realize that these shepherds, when they go out and let's say one of their sheep goes somewhere that they shouldn't go and they break their leg. Do you realize what the shepherd does? He goes out and he takes a gun and he shoots them in the head. So you shouldn't have went there in the first place. You don't belong to me anymore. That's not what he does. He goes and he takes that injured sheep. And he provides the medical treatment that sheep needs, where they're splinting the leg, fixing the leg. And then he'll carry that sheep on his shoulders for however long it takes for that leg to mend. And the longer he carries that sheep, the closer that sheep becomes to the shepherd. Makes sense, right? The longer you're carried by the shepherd, the closer you become. Because, you know, for a period, you don't know anything else but the shepherd. Let me ask you, are you hurting today? Are you one of those broken-legged sheep? You think, boy, if I can just get through this, I just want to get through this, get it over. Lord, get me out of it. No, listen. Take advantage of it. Do you know when you'll be closest to Jesus? It's when you're in crisis. Why? Because you realize you can't fix it yourself. You've got to completely, totally depend upon the shepherd. Number one, you can't lose it. It will never, ever be lost, whether by intentional sin or unintentional sin. Jesus is not going to lose you. Number two, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Now I want you to realize what's said. He just when he says that you'll never be lost, that you'll never perish, that means you'll never be lost. Whether it's you or God Himself, He's not going to lose you. But then, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. All right? That word pluck, it means to steal or to take by force or violence. Not only can you not lose it, but there's no one that can take you away from your shepherd. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? See, these people, these Pharisees, would do anything to get Jesus' people to follow them. Jesus again saying, you can't have them. No man can take them by force. No man can take what's mine by deception, because I have them. Not only do I have them, but my Father has them. No one can pluck them out of my hand. Do you realize, you know, I made the comment in the beginning that a lot of things that happened this week and people are concerned about the things that are going on. It's all right. Why? If you are a child of God, there's nothing anyone or anything can do about it. And you know, I've heard people say, we know how it's going to end. We've read the back of the book. And we kind of said that so much that we kind of take it for granted. But I want you to stop and think. God has you as a child of God in the grip of His hand. And He's like, nobody can get to you. Nobody can take what you have in me. That's my child. You can't rob him. Whether by force, by accident, or by scheme, you can't have my children. See, that's the message of John chapter 10. You see, what I want you to get today is that you are truly secure in Jesus Christ. There's nothing anyone can do about it. The good news is, you know, and I've heard people say, well, I don't think a murderer can go to heaven. Show me. Well, I don't think if you committed rape that you can go to heaven. Show me. Well, I just think that some people, you know, are just too bad to go to heaven. Well, then you think all of us are too bad to go to heaven, because none of us are worthy of our salvation. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, listen, the glory. And you know, and you say, well, what's the big deal about security of the believer? Here's the big deal. You're going to be challenged. You're going to face opposition. You're going to go through storms. You need to know who you can trust in this life. Have you failed? Oh, Brother Doug, I failed big time. That's, you know, I hate to hear that. Repent, move on. You're safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Do you have doubts? You know, sometimes I just, you know, I doubt. That's okay. You're secure in Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm just so worried about what's coming, what's going to happen to this world and our country and our nation. It's okay. We're secure in Jesus Christ. And even Satan himself cannot take us. Doesn't matter if the economy takes a turn. Doesn't matter if my health fails. It doesn't matter what battle Satan throws against me. I am a child of the King, and there's nothing, anything, or anyone can do about it. Amen. Glory to God. I am secure in Jesus Christ. I love Romans chapter 8, verse 38, and I want to leave you with this thought. Paul said, "For I am persuaded, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Glory to God, we are secure. Are you? Are you secure in Jesus Christ? Have you come to the point in your life where you gave your life to Jesus Christ? You called upon Him as the Son of God who died for your sins to pay your sin debt? And you asked Him to save you? And you have accepted that free gift of salvation? If you've never done that, there is no security for you. Hell awaits.
good news is, your pardon is waiting. You see, that's what salvation is. It's a pardon from your sin. It's forgiveness. Today, I beg you, if you do not know the security of Jesus Christ, that you turn to Him for salvation. Oh, Brother Doug, I'm not that bad. You're bad enough. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay. I want to tell you the only reason I'm going to heaven. The reason I'm going to heaven is because Jesus Christ paid for my sins upon the cross of Calvary. And I've called upon Him, asking Him to save me. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He died, buried, and rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand of God today to make intercession for all those who will call upon Him. Do you have that security? If not, this invitation is for you. Maybe you're here today and you know this virus stuff's got a little heavy on you. You're all worried. Listen. Like Beth said, or Beth sang earlier, if you're a child of God, you've got a direct line to the throne room. Instead of wallowing in worry, lay your cares at the feet of Jesus. He knows what to do with them. You may be here and you have some other need, like church membership, rededication, baptism. Whatever your spiritual need is here today, I want to challenge you. Hey, let's go out of here. Every one of us following the same shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. For the reminder that You are the shepherd, the good shepherd. That there is none like You, nor ever will be. Jesus, You are the Son of God. And now I pray that Your will be done in this service. I pray that we'll respond to Your leading. I pray that we will be encouraged. And that we, Lord, will stand secure in the salvation that You have given. I love You, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.